You're with SBS Radio.
On telephone line, we have Professor Shamit Sagar, who is the Director of the Public Policy Institute at University of Western Australia. So we're briefly going to discuss how the COVID-19 pandemic is impacting India-Australia relations at a socio and geopolitical level. Professor Sagar, Sat Sri Akal, and welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Pritinda. Nice to be here.
It's very tough times for India and to a less extent to Australia. Given the context, can you tell us if trade and bilateral ties with India will improve during this era, especially at a time when our relations with China have gone from bad to worse?
Well, right now in 2021, everything is on standstill all over the world because of the COVID crisis. And in fact, even Australia's trade relations with India are kind of sort of deep frozen right now. So that's a common pattern everywhere we see. It's not just to do with India. But I think the larger point is that India and Indian trade is a very large story, a very big story for the future of Australia's economy. You've got to remember the kind of size of the Indian economy, the way in which it's grown since the year 2000 has been phenomenal. And even the most conservative projections, international projections of India's economy show growth rates between 6 and 8% for the next 20 years. So with that colossal population size, growth that's already seen in India for the last two decades, Australia being a small economy only really needs to have a decent slice of that trade. And so this is a very large part of how Australia will earn its living in the future. And secondly, and related to that, is this question of Australia already is very heavily integrated into the North Asian economy, China, Japan, and Korea. But with difficult relationships with China, that sort of goes up and down on a regular basis. There's a very strong case to make sure that Australia diversified its trading relationships with all sorts of countries in the region. India's the most prominent. So I suspect this Indian trade relationship will be very, very important in the next few years after COVID.
And what is your take on the issue of Australian citizens and visa holders stranded in India? So far, we have seen very limited support from the mainstream Australian population. I mean, it's quite understandable, given the fear of the spread of the virus and potential lockdowns. But what we learn from here?
Well, you're quite right in sort of singling it out. I mean, it's unusual, it's strange, and it's probably not Australia's benefit at all. I mean, Australian political leaders have been genuinely courting India for many years for trade reasons, for security reasons. And in this moment of crisis, it was really quite regrettable. It's quite shameful to see Australian leaders all turn their back on India in its time of need. The way I look at it is very simple. These are really not Indians. These are Australians of Indian heritage. And here in Australia, if we have 26, 27 million people, by the middle part of the century, we'll have almost 40 million people. These people in Australia are going to be less and less European and more from Asia and even from Africa. So anything that we do, particularly in time of crisis, should be done even-handedly. And the problem with the evacuation flights and not having them and suspending any plans for them for India in the recent crisis that we saw in May was that it gave the appearance of double standards. And that went down very badly. It went down badly in India, where people are very sensitive, quite rightly, about relationships and being treated properly. It also went down very badly in Australia's Indian diaspora, its Indian communities, all of whom were surprised to see just how strong that negative reaction was and how quick it was. If we're going to have evacuation flights, we should be very keen to make sure that they're done evenly and fairly between people who've got family in Europe, people who've got family in Asia, people who've got family in Africa. Any sense of double standards will go down very, very badly in my view.
So do you see a political will at the government level to address this issue? I mean, PM Morrison keeps on saying this Christmas, next Christmas. Or do you just think that it has become another tool to win elections, like we have seen in many states as well?
Look, there's no doubt. Let's be clear. The polling is absolutely unambiguous. When asked, Australians believe that our approach of closing our borders, being isolated, being a hermit state, all these things have been responsible for the fact that COVID has not got out of control in Australia. This is what people believe, and therefore all political leaders are going to pay attention to that. So there's no getting away from that. But there's a separate question, which is the more Australia does what it does, which is try to eradicate COVID, and the more the rest of the world tries to suppress it, you have this sort of perverse situation where actually Australia is an outlier. It doesn't fit anymore. And so it actually cuts itself off from the world, and probably in due course, it's the effect on its economy will be negative as well. So we can't carry on like this forever and ever. The solution actually comes from countries that have had it worse with COVID, and they're now finding through a mass vaccination program that they're going to have to live with COVID. They're going to have to live with it like any respiratory public health problem. And as they often say in Europe, and particularly in North America, they're going to try and turn it into the flu. So my own view of this is it's not really about India, actually. It's about Australia being very, very isolated and being very, very far away. And people in general in this country of all backgrounds believe that's responsible for our success. And that's bad news for the very large number of Australians who've got family, close family, who are overseas, whether they're in India, whether they're in other parts of Asia or Europe.
And coming to my last question, which you have partially answered as well, in terms of the government policies, what do you think has gone broadly wrong and what we could have done better to improve relationships with India? And where does China now stand in this equation?
Well, look, the truth is that there are many, many political leaders in Australia who are sympathetic to India and Indians in Australia. Many of them have got electorates with Indian voters or people of Indian heritage. And I predict in the future, the Indian diaspora and the vote will become more and more important, particularly in the concentrated Indian communities in the southeast of the country, in Victoria, in New South Wales, but also over here in Perth, where I'm speaking to you from right now. But I think, really, I have to be honest with you, at this stage, at this moment, very few of them did speak up. The Indian advocates were very silent, or they weren't listened to at a time of crisis. So the challenge will be to make sure that these voters are more likely to be articulate, more likely to pay attention and have attention paid to them. But the problem we have, of course, is that Australia leadership and federal politics has got very, very few people of non-European background present. And that needs to change very dramatically.
Well, that be it, Professor. Thank you for your input today.
You're welcome.
You're with SBS Radio.